Hello again. And I found out what the back again was. It's the damn Daniel. Damn Daniel, back again with the sneakers.
I have literally no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
No.
All right, from last week, we did the I said back again at the beginning of the episode.
Oh.
And you were like, I don't know what that is.
That was not last week.
Yes, it was.
That was like 3 weeks ago.
No. We did it last. It aired last week, Jeff.
Yes, you're right. We did do it last
week. Yeah, you jerk. Duh. It aired last week.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, Slow Burn, a new episode. The people were clamoring, so we were delivering.
It's popping.
The people are always clamoring. Yeah. I like how I always start that is like the people are asking. Nobody asked for this.
I can't even walk down the streets without people just like harassing me. Yeah, Where's the next episode?
Nobody asked us for this. We're just
right.
doing it.
Yep.
They're asking us to stop, but despite them,
Never.
We're still going. So obviously, as always, we can start off the show. The show will feature No Time to Die review. Everybody's been waiting for Jeffrey Spradlin's take on the No Time to Die.
Again, clamoring in the streets. Just waiting.
the new Bond movie. But as always, we're going to start off by doing our trailers and teasers and movie talk. So coining that phrase now. Trailers, teasers, and talk.
That's what we do.
It's a tongue twister. Even more tease there. You see what I did there?
Jeff. This is why you're the host.
That's why they pay me nothing, Jeff.
Why they
pay me nothing. So we're going to start off with a trailer that's been out for a while, but I think they just released a final trailer for it.
A few days ago, they did.
Yeah, and we also, I think we kind of talked about it just a little bit, but not enough, I feel like. So it's the final trailer for Matrix Resurrections.
The fourth Matrix film
that no one asked for. And then it also seems to be just only one of the Wachowski brother sisters.
It is Lana Wachowski, yes.
Yeah. Is it Wachowski or Wachowski?
I think it's Wachowski.
Okay, Wachowski.
Right.
I don't know where the other brother sister is.
It's interesting. Kind of like the Coen brothers this year. Joel Coen is doing his first movie by himself.
Maybe so. Maybe
siblings?
Lana?
Yeah.
Just said, hey, we need more Matrix.
Yeah.
So obviously this is, it seems like Neo is back kind of at the beginning. Trinity is somehow alive. And if you saw the third movie, which don't go see it, I don't recommend seeing it. But if you saw the third movie, this makes no sense on what's happening. So honestly, I'm just curious to see it just to know how they got to this point.
Yeah. Well, the movie, based on the trailer, it looks somehow simultaneously amazing and horrible, terrific and bad. I can't explain it.
Yeah, they definitely use more special effects, and it seems like there's more quote-unquote force.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
with Neo using the force and everything like that. It seems like there's a lot more of that.
Yeah.
Just him being a superhero in general.
Grunting from Keanu Reeves.
A lot of grunting. Yeah. If you're into some Keanu Reeves grunting, this is the movie for you. But yeah, it seems like we're just kind of starting over with The Matrix. So everything that kind of came about or transpired in the first three doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because we even get, I don't know if you saw in the final trailer, we even get a bald Neo again. So
pretty awesome.
I'm very confused.
That's what
pretty much my whole thing for this trailer is confusion.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a new Agent Smith. The new guy.
Jonathan Groff.
Is that the actor's name?
Oh wait, are you talking about replacing Lawrence Fishburne?
No.
Lawrence Fishburne is replaced by Yahya Abdul.
No, I know that. I'm saying Agent Smith, the guy who says Mr. Anderson, he seems to be replaced in this movie by a new actor.
Yes.
Why? That guy played it perfectly.
I don't know.
What's that actor's name?
I don't remember.
He's also the, this is a big tangent, he's also the elf in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Nope. But in the past,
he's like the head elf. In
the past,
Lord
the answer
Rings.
Has always been Matt Smith.
No, it's not Matt Smith.
I know. Lori's gonna kill us for not knowing the name.
Well, I don't expect you to know the elf's name. I just wanted you to know the actor's name.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. Why do I even keep you around?
Yeah.
But that. Do you have anything else to add? I mean, I want to see it just to understand how we got to this point, but also knowing how bad Revolutions was, and knowing that this kind of just reverts everything that happened in Revolutions.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I've only seen the first Matrix, which I think.
Oh, you haven't seen the other?
I haven't seen the other two.
Oh,
I think,
my gosh.
I think the first Matrix is pretty great. It's playing in theaters right now again, which is kind of cool.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm still going to watch it. I need to watch the other two before.
Watch the second one for sure. The second one is not great. It's not as good as the first one, but it's got some pretty iconic scenes.
That's
cool
why I haven't
scenes.
Watched them, because I know they're not going to live up to
the third one's just bad. Third one is just bad. It's just a bad movie. But the second one is actually pretty good for most of it. Okay. It gets weird, but, you know, hey.
I like weird.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with weird.
Yeah.
But that will wrap up the Matrix final trailer. And then another trailer didn't really drop recently, but I don't think we really talked about it at all.
We have not.
Yeah, and so I wanted to at least mention it because I've seen trailers for it in pretty much like every movie I've been to and on TV all the time.
Nonstop.
Yes.
In between NBA games.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So The Kingsman, which is a prequel to both of the Kingsmen movies, which is like the Gentleman's CIA, I guess. Is that what you want to call it?
Sure.
Kind of like an off-brand James Bond.
You want to hear something else?
What?
I've never seen these movies either.
Really?
Yep.
I saw the first one. I didn't see the second one.
Okay. Are you going to watch it before this?
No.
Gotcha.
Probably won't even watch this one. But it does have Voldemort in it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Ray Fiennes, yeah.
What?
Ray Fiennes.
That's how you say it?
I mean, his name is Ralph, but
yeah.
People call him Ray. Ray
really?
Fiennes, yeah.
And it's Fiennes?
Mm-hmm. That is
I've been
how
saying
say
Fiennes.
Oh, I was too before
forever.
I like, heard him in an interview.
Okay, so Ray Fiennes. Ray wow. Fiennes. That's a mind blower right
from
there.
The Grand Budapest Hotel and Constant Gardener, Schindler's List, you know, pretty iconic actor.
Yeah, and The Dig. People forget about The Dig.
Oh, The Dig.
People forget. Have
people
you seen
never
that?
Knew.
Did you ever watch that?
No.
That might be the most boring movie of all time.
I'd probably love it.
That and what's your favorite movie of all time?
It changes daily. Which one are you talking about this time?
The Hollywood movie.
Once Upon a Time
in
Hollywood?
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That and The Dig are tied for
a
board
movie.
That's
ridiculous. I'm actually offended. Let's move on. Let's move on before we fight.
Oh. But yeah, that's The Kingsman. It's pretty much just a prequel. If you've seen any of those movies, it just kind of shows how it started. Ralph Fiennes stars. There's Rasputin in it, apparently.
Yes. Does this have the worst movie title of the year?
The Kingsman.
It's pretty bad.
Really? I didn't think. I mean, if it goes along with the other ones.
I think it's pretty
It's
bad.
Apparently like a comic, too, I believe, is how it started. It's like a graphic.
Makes sense, because it's very stylistic like that.
Yeah.
Like, they're in the trailer I saw most recently, there's a dude literally jumping on top of mountain goats.
Yes.
Did you see that?
So if you, I agree. It's very comic book-like in a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's got that kind of style to it, and I believe it's because it was originally a graphic novel.
Well, Matthew Wright, the director, he also directed X-Men First Class, so makes sense.
Yeah, but if you're into really action, and there's a lot of gore in these movies too.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely saw that in the first one. So a lot of action, a lot of gore, cool gadgets, and then it's kind of a period piece too, because it's in whatever year they're in.
I'm definitely going to check them out, if nothing else, at least for the awesome
I'd watch
accents.
The first one at least, just to see like what it is, and you kind of get a sense of the style they're going for, because it
sure.
is definitely, if you're not into that kind of style, it's not the movie for you.
It's definitely
it is
unique,
it is an action, kind of action comedy style movie. A lot of gore, a lot of just gadgets, and think of it as kind of a comic book movie, because there are kind of far-fetched.
We don't have enough of those, so.
No, absolutely not, but just a different take on them, I guess.
Yeah.
I think this one might actually be better, just because it's kind of a period piece based. That might, not a period piece at all, but it's in a different time period.
I know what you mean.
That way. Yeah. All right, so we'll move on. We have the final trailer for Don't Look Up. It is coming out this Friday.
Is that true? I thought it must be in theater. I think it drops on Netflix on Christmas Eve, right?
Must be in theaters then.
Yeah.
I know it drops on the... What's today? It drops on the 10th.
Okay.
So...
Probably select theaters. We probably won't get it in Alabama until the 24th. You watch.
Well, I mean, I'm going to watch it on Netflix anyways. Here, I can look it up real quick. But yeah, Jeff, tell me about... Give me a brief synopsis of Don't Look Up while I'm looking this up.
Don't Look Up. It's directed by Adam McKay. He did Talladega Nights and Anchorman, which are great comedies that are very funny. I really, really disliked The Big Short. Feels like he was trying to be an important filmmaker, trying to, you know, make an Oscar bait movie. Really fell flat for me. This movie is getting really subpar reviews so far. It seems like people are saying it's like really smug, know-it-all humor that was mostly prevalent in The Big Short. Seems like he's just trying so hard to be considered important, you know? But I'm going to watch anything with Leo in it, my favorite actor. Meryl Streep, one of the greats. She looks hilarious in this. So we'll see. It's basically a climate change satire, you know?
Yeah.
Making fun of the media, and it's going to be interesting. I don't know. It just... Adam McKay's hit or miss. We'll see what he does with this.
It looks really funny to me. I call it a dramedy because I think there's moments. I don't know if you saw the scene. They released a full scene when they were on that show with Tyler Perry and I don't know the other actress in that. And she's kind of yelling at them, like, what are you talking about? You're making jokes about this and we're all going to die kind of thing.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill looks hilarious. I believe he's the president in this, which is also just hilarious.
Ridiculous.
Yes. He's hilarious. And the fact that he's like, oh, no, we're all going to get rich. Yeah. No. So
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be hilarious. And it's just a talk about stars of stars in this movie.
This cast is bonkers.
It's insane. Like, of course, you have Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence is the main, Meryl Streep and Jonah Hill, who we already mentioned. Tyler Perry's in it. Timothy Chalamet makes an appearance.
He looks hilarious in this.
Ariana Grande makes an appearance. Cate Blanchett makes an appearance.
Kid Cudi, right?
Yes, I believe so. Ron Perlman makes an appearance. So it's just
weird.
Anybody and everybody who was just like, hey, you want to be like a cameo in this movie? Sure, come on.
Yeah.
So they're just all kinds of people in it.
Did you find the release date?
Yes, so you were right. It is the 10th for
Select Theaters,
and then the 24th for Netflix.
I'm just going to tell you, we're not going to get it in Alabama.
Well, we will on the
24th. Watch it on Netflix, yeah. We'll see.
So I was planning on watching it on Netflix anyways. So that worked out perfect for me. I am bummed, though, because I thought it was coming out Friday.
Yeah, got to wait a couple more weeks.
Bummer. But yeah, it honestly looks pretty good. Like you said, he did Anchorman and Step Brothers and everything like that. It gives me a little bit of vibe just with this all-star cast. Playing goofy characters of This Is the End, and it's an apocalyptic, and you see kind of at the final one of the final scenes in the trailer is Jonah Hill in his limo and the like comet is coming and he's just you know making fun of it kind of thing. So I'm very excited for it. I think it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
And Leonardo DiCaprio playing like a stressed out nerd is hilarious to me too for some reason.
Leo is like under the radar one of the funniest actors alive.
I think
like,
so too. I mean, he's hilarious.
So funny.
And I will say, as much as I give you crap about it, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Leo's hilarious in
he's
it.
He's so funny.
He's hilarious in it. And I think that, like I said, just that's just so not who he is as a nerdy doctor who's shy. That's just like the opposite, I feel like, of his personality. So
yeah,
I'm pretty excited to see him play that role. But yeah, all around, I think it, like you said, he's kind of hit or miss. I wasn't big on The Big Short, but I was big on Step Brothers. So
we'll see. A random array of movies too. I know.
So we'll move on, and then we'll go into the first trailer for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. This is, of course, the sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, correct?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Part one. I was making sure
I had that. Well, that movie was itself. This trailer is part one.
Yeah,
yes, correct.
Saying.
Correct. It will be a part one, which is interesting that they're doing two parts. So if you haven't seen the first one, it's a... animated Spider-Man movie.
If you haven't seen it, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's really, really good. I think it won like every animated film award.
Yeah. Deservedly.
Was that in 2019? 2018.
It was 18, I believe.
18.
Yeah.
It won like every animated film award for that year. It's got a really cool style to it. It's funny. It's good. Starring Miles Morales as the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then obviously with the new Spider-Man real life movie coming out soon, you get a kind of another glimpse into the multiverse, and you see the multiverse in the first one. So this is very interesting. They're bringing back all the same actors and actresses playing voices, and then I believe Oscar Isaac, I don't think he was in the first one, was he?
He was not, as far as I know.
So he plays an unknown role in it, and then it looks like there's going to be a new villain that looks like Spider-Man. Am I wrong? Looks like a Spider-Man.
Sure does. Coming, to like portal near the end.
Yeah, through
very
the portals.
Yeah.
It doesn't. This is like more of a teaser trailer than anything else because it really doesn't tell you.
That's
anything.
Literally what the title. It literally just says
teaser trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it. I mean, what was it like? 40 seconds long.
Yeah.
And it just
exactly.
kind of shows Gwen.
Exactly.
Spider Gwen coming through.
Yep.
And that's pretty much all you get.
Yeah. She sees the drawings that Miles did of
her.
It's like, I missed you too.
Yes.
This movie was written by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, who did 21 and 22 Jump Street, Lego Movie, Cloudy with a Chance to Meatballs. They also wrote the first one. So
yeah.
I believe it is three. It has three directors, and I believe they're all different. I think they all, like one of them directed a lot of Avatar episodes, The Last Airbender. So pretty interesting. I'm sure it'll be great.
Oh, yeah. I think it will be too. If you enjoyed that first movie, I think it's going to bring a lot of the same aspects into this movie. So really just a feel-good kind of comedy Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, October 7th, 2022, by the way.
Okay, October 7th, 2022. Yeah, I didn't give any of the release dates. I'm shame on me. And then finally, I just wanted to touch on it because we have some more just kind of the latest news since it's the big thing everybody's waiting for. Mm-hmm. I think it's broken every record that Avengers Endgame has set on pre-release date.
Pre-sell.
So, of course,
trailer.
I'm talking about Spider-Man No Way Home. Yeah. It broke the record in for the trailer views. It broke the record for pre-sale tickets. Everybody's been talking about it. Obviously, spoilers are everywhere, so they're trying to avoid that. So, Kevin, is it Feige?
Yeah.
The Marvel executive producer said that only 40 minutes of the film will be shown at the press screening. So they're really, really trying to avoid any kind of spoilers whatsoever.
I wonder why they only want to show 40 minutes.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to cut
out
here.
Wonder who could be in this movie.
And then Charlie Cox, the Daredevil actor who plays on Netflix, he was essentially confirmed to be in the movie because Kevin Feige said that he will be Daredevil in the Marvel Universe from here on out. But why would he announce that before the movie came out if he wasn't going to be in the movie?
So interesting, right?
Yeah. So he's going to be in the movie. I would be willing to bet a lot of money on that.
The marketing for this movie is genius. Absolutely genius.
Oh, yes. 100%. I mean, that's part of what is playing into the pre-sale of tickets. It could honestly, and it's not going to be, but it could be a terrible movie and they're going to still make boatloads of money.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, Sony comes out and says that they want to continue. Obviously, if you're going to make one of the highest grossing films of all time, you want to continue doing it, right?
Obviously, yeah.
So they're gonna bring back Tom Holland to be Spider-Man. Still Sony Marvel, which I thought after this it was going to be all Marvel.
Yeah, it's confusing.
I'm very confused on how that deal works and
who knows
how it works into the Marvel universe.
People heard, there were rumors before that we weren't going to get any more Marvel Spider-Man movies after Homecoming because of the dispute between Sony and Marvel.
Right,
so.
I'm very confused.
Yeah.
I'm just utterly confused on how that works. So, but he's confirmed to at least play in another trilogy with Sony Marvel as Spider-Man.
Do you think we're going to get, like, Spider-Man, like, we're going to get tired out of this because there's, like, games coming out so much. You have Into the Spider-Verse movies now. We're going to have these other three movies with Tom Holland.
Well, I mean, I'm sure just like everything, when the Star Wars final trilogy came out, there was, after the second one, you could say that there was a lot of Star Wars
fatigue. Yeah.
And then, of course, we still have stuff with Star Wars coming out, with Book of Boba coming out later
this
year.
Which seems essentially the same as The Mandalorian.
Exactly. But, I mean, hey, if you're going to make so much money with The Mandalorian, why not do it again?
It's all about money.
Exactly. So there's going to be fatigue eventually. I think right now everybody's so excited for this upcoming movie that it's hard to get fatigued.
Yeah. I'm curious to see. One thing I respect so much about Endgame is the hype was unbelievable, and it seemed to not only live up to the hype, but like surpass it. And No Way Home hype is equal, if not bigger. And I just want to see, like, you know, how it hits. Are people going to be disappointed no matter what? Are people going to be hyped no matter what?
I think the only way people... I think if all three Spider-Men are going to be in it, which I think they are.
Yeah, they are. Spoiler alert.
I think they are. Then I think people will be happy with it just to see kind of the nostalgia from Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield being in the movie with Tom Holland. I'm also very excited that they did announce Tom Holland's going to be back as Spider-Man, so we don't have to keep doing this thing where we feel like we need another origin story for a different Spider-Man.
Right.
We can
agree.
Actually continue the line. And then I've also seen, I don't know if you watched, I've been really into it lately, the nerd I am. And I watched like a 10-minute interview with the three confirmed villains in it. I guess not Lizard wasn't in it. But they had Doc Ock and Green Goblin. So Willem Dafoe, what's Doc Ock's actor's name?
You know what else Willem Dafoe's in?
The Lighthouse.
Yes.
Jamie Foxx. And what's the Doc Ock's actor's name? Jeff. Why do I have you on the show if you don't know names when I point at you?
I don't know them all. I'm sorry.
Anyways, they did a panel and they were talking about how great it was to be back and how obviously the Green Goblin's costume is going to be different. They talked about that. So very interesting stuff. And then I saw where Tom Holland, Kraven the Hunter was trending for some reason.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw that
on
Twitter. And then I was reading about how this movie was almost a Kraven the Hunter Spider-Man movie because they didn't know if the whole multiverse theme of the movie was going to work out at one point. So they were like, hey, what about a Kraven the Hunter?
Yeah.
And then I also saw Tom Holland say that he wants Morbius to be involved in a future Spider-Man. Which, why? But, yeah. So that was the two. That was the only other news that I did not...
The only thing I saw from Tom Holland is he said he wants to kind of be the Iron Man in the franchise now, to where he's like shepherding in the new young
Yeah.
Hero.
I mean, he's been doing it. I think probably all of them get tired of it eventually. You know, when you do something for decades.
He doesn't want to be defined just by
Spider-Man. Yeah, he doesn't want to. And I understand that. He's done several other movies, though, in this time frame.
Unfortunately, they've all been mediocre at best, but there's time.
His other movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's time, though.
I like it. I mean, he plays a good Spider-Man.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's great.
Yeah. People Everybody love loves him. I did see, speaking of getting tired, though, I did see that Chris Hemsworth said he'll keep doing Thor movies as long as they keep wanting him back. Did you see that?
Yeah, apparently. Well, especially the direction they're going in now, where it's more of a comedy. He just gets to have fun. Sure, I'll take a fat paycheck to be hilarious. Sure.
Might as well, you know? Yeah. I would love to work with Taika Waititi for a fat paycheck, you know?
I'll pay to work with him.
I would pay Taika Waititi more money just to not pay me
yes.
so I can go work with him.
That's all I want.
Okay, well, that'll wrap up our trailers. What do I have? Trailers, teasers, and talk. I mean, it's going to take me a while to remember that. There you go. Triple T. That'll wrap up Triple T. So let's go ahead and move into our No Time to Die review. So I do you want to do it? Yeah. Go ahead.
That's all I got.
No, keep going.
I can't.
So I looked up just a few bits of info about this movie. It has now grossed, as I looked earlier today, $765 million worldwide. So it's the third highest grossing film in 2021. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously made some money. You know the director, obviously, Cary Joji Fukunaga.
You got it. Yes.
Man.
Good for you.
There we go, baby. Of course, the co-wrote It, the 2017 version, mm-hmm. And then also directed the first season of True Detective, which
right.
I think Jeff and I can agree is the best season of television ever.
It's top three for sure. Okay, incredible.
There we go.
He also did Jane Eyre and Beasts of No Nation, which Beasts of No Nation was Netflix's first ever original film.
What is it?
Yep.
What is it?
Beasts of No Nation.
Oh, Beasts. That was Netflix's first?
That was their first ever original film directed
what?
By him. And it's funny.
I feel like Beasts of No Nation. I mean, I'm not doubting you. I just like, that's crazy to me because I feel like I saw Beasts of No Nation on Netflix in like 2015.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the thing is, theaters initially were so mad that it was going to air on Netflix that they like boycotted the movie and wouldn't allow it in theaters. And now here he is making a blockbuster that's top three box office years later.
It's crazy.
Pretty interesting how
it's
it comes
crazy.
Around.
Very, very weird. Last thing I did want to point out about this movie that I looked up. I didn't see any casting notes because it's a sequel, really, so I can't do the what ifs really here.
Yeah.
Because they pretty much just brought back all the actors. Obviously, this is the final film of Daniel Craig being James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to wrap up everything. So no really casting changes or anything like that. But I did see that there were multiple directors that they tried to get for this movie after Sam Mendes said that Spectre was his last James Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to get several different directors. I thought you would like a couple of these names. Christopher Nolan.
Yep.
Tried to get him. Jan Dimongi? Do you know who that is?
I don't know who that
Neither.
Is, actually. Interesting.
David McKenzie.
Okay.
You know that one?
Yep.
Okay. Any references that you can give me for David McKenzie?
He's done some Westerns. I'm not the biggest fan of his,
okay.
but, you know, he's okay.
And then Denis Villeneuve.
Oh, really? I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, but, and the only reason, so Christopher Nolan immediately pretty much turned it down.
Of course he did.
Yeah. Sounds like him, right?
Yeah.
Denis Villeneuve pretty much turned it down because he was working so hard on Dune.
Oh,
He couldn't break away from Dune.
Makes sense.
I think he wanted to do it from what I was reading.
Yeah.
Sounded like he wanted to do it, but he just couldn't. Time constraints with Dune. He couldn't make it happen. So.
Yeah. Well, Danny Boyle was also attached to direct this for a while as well. And then I don't really remember why he decided to part ways. It was like creative differences or something like that. But yeah. He was actually attached officially to direct it and then dropped out.
Yeah, it almost seemed like they couldn't even find anybody. They were begging people to do it almost. And then all these directors were like, nope,
yep.
nope. So
this movie's been through a weird production cycle.
It has. It started in 2016 and really didn't start filming until 2019.
And it was supposed to come out early 2020, April of 2020, I believe. And obviously...
Pandemic.
it was the first movie to get delayed.
Really? Was it?
Pandemic, yep.
Okay, there we go. More information. So, like I referenced earlier, this is Daniel Craig's last Bond film. In this film, James Bond, who is now left active service after the events of Spectre, he is then recruited by the CIA after he thinks he's betrayed by his girlfriend, and the CIA want to get him to help find a kidnapped scientist, which leads to a showdown with a powerful adversary. Dun, 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 dun. Don't you like that? I love this.
You killed that.
I love the... This is literally from Wikipedia. I love the Wikipedia...
the best.
Synopsis.
Straight to the
synopses.
Point.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Just summed up a 2.5-hour movie. Boom.
Exactly. There you go. I did that for the people because after our first episode, I realized that I can't do that by myself.
Yeah, or else our episodes would be 6 hours long.
They're already really long. I already rambled too much, Jeff. I can't be trusted to go off the rails.
You're right.
So first of all, I wanted to just start off by saying I liked the movie. Mm-hmm. What'd you think? You like it?
I liked it as well. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. I think it's a great Daniel Craig, James Bond film. Has a lot of action. You're never bored. Mm-hmm. Kind of connecting all the dots from Spectre. I think it really helps. I never actually finished Spectre, so I think it would have helped me more in this movie, actually.
Especially since it's a direct sequel to Spectre.
Right, Spectre, yes.
Even though it's a continuation, obviously. They're all linked.
Right. They are all linked, but you don't get as much connection as you do from Casino Royale to Quantum of Solace to Skyfall to Spectre, but this and Spectre are very closely linked.
You do get in the opening scene, you get a callback to Casino Royale.
You do.
With Vesper, but that's it. After that, it's all Spectre related.
You do.
So.
You do. But other than that, I mean, you don't have to see Spectre. They explain everything to you if you didn't see it. Mm-hmm. And you can use context clues otherwise.
Right.
But I thought it was really well. A lot of action, a lot of James Bond just being a badass throughout the movie, which is what you go to see a James Bond movie for.
That's what Daniel Craig does.
But I do want to just start off with the end. Don't like the choice for how they send Daniel Craig off into the sunset. So spoiler, he basically stops a nuclear bomb going off with this virus that can kill millions just by being in the air, pretty much. A deadly virus weapon. Stops a bomb from going off with it. And then gets injected with a virus that if he doesn't actually hurt him, but if he touches his girlfriend and daughter, who knew James Bond had a daughter, then he'll kill them.
Those blue eyes.
Yep. So then he'll kill them. So he can't actually go near them. And so instead of going near them, he sacrifices himself to make sure that the whole plant blows up, the virus can't spread to anyone else, and just dies in the kind of gives up just because he knows he can't ever go near them anymore. So the end of James Bond is him blowing up.
I actually really liked it. And I liked it because he finally was this close to getting everything he wanted and to getting
That's
out.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Done.
Why not just give us a happy ending?
Well, the thing is, that would have been too cheesy, though. Like, we already get that in every superhero movie.
Do you know why superheroes make a lot of movies?
No,
a lot of money?
But I respect them for taking, like, kind of a bold choice here. The thing is, he's always been the most dangerous thing to the people he loves because of what he brings with him, all the baggage, you know. His job comes with all the danger.
It's seeping in metaphors. Seeping in it.
Right.
But
well, the thing is, now he becomes this literal manifestation of that, where he is literally the biggest threat, because when he gets poisoned with the DNA, he could literally kill them just by touching them. And it's like, of course he's going to give up. He finally gets everything he wants.
I know, but we're so close to getting everything. Why don't we just send the Daniel Craig James Bond off into the sunset, happy with his daughter and girlfriend?
That's not how Daniel Craig wants it. I guarantee you he has some input.
I mean,
like,
I'm sure.
I'll come back, but you better make it to where my character cannot come back, because I'm not doing it again.
You better make sure I die.
Yes.
But other than that, I thought it was a really good film.
Obviously,
when you don't like the ending, it kind of taints the whole film for you a little bit, because you don't want to go back and rewatch it when you know that, similar to Game of Thrones, you don't want to as much.
Oh, the ending is nowhere near that bad.
No.
It's not that bad. That's an exaggeration.
I was using that as a example for what I was saying, is you don't want to go back and rewatch when you don't necessarily love the ending.
I know what you mean.
But I thought it was really good. So what do you think they did well?
First of all, I think,
other than the end, apparently,
it's difficult to be a final film in a franchise or a sequence of movies. And I really do think it has a solid send-off. I don't know how else you could do it without it being cheesy. I think the opening scene is phenomenal, and it really sets up the core tension for the rest of the film. It's like really well shot. There's a lot of tension just there in that opening scene. There's some cool shots, like over the ice, as Saffer, I believe is his name, is helping Madeline out of the ice when she's a little kid. I think it's very well paced. Like you said, it's never boring. The opening action scene is incredible. And I believe they're in Italy, on the streets there. And that
was it
really
Greece or Italy?
I thought it was
or
Italy. I think it's
really
Italy.
I don't know.
It's really, really cool. I think Ana de Armas comes in and just dominates for like 15 minutes. I wish she'd have been in it more.
As I say,
her character was awesome.
I thought once she got into the movie that she was going to be involved with the movie the rest of the way, and then she just literally is in that one scene and then is like, all right,
they're
going to
bring her back in the future.
I mean, I'm sure.
There's no way they don't.
I'm sure.
She was great. She killed it.
She did do great.
What did you like about it?
So, I mean, obviously, the like you said, the action shots with James Bond, specifically the Daniel Craig James Bond, have been just perfect most of the time. Just they go with him. They have a lot of follow action scenes. In other words, like even in that scene when he's in Italy, apparently, and he swings on that, the camera follows him down. It doesn't just kind of let him go out of frame or anything
that,
like that.
That was a really cool shot.
They obviously have the aerial shot over the ice. Like you said, it just goes from kind of just front facing of Madeline as a child to all of a sudden like a drone shot over the ice. So that was really cool. Showed you the vast expanse of the lake and how kind of alone she really was in the wilderness out there.
True.
But yeah, I mean, all the action scenes in James Bond movies are really great. I think it's always funny too, the more that Daniel Craig has been in it, the more that gunfire, he's like immune to it. Because if you watch him, I don't know if they just edit it in later or like he just wants to like seem like he just doesn't care about his life. But he will just stand in moments where they are shooting and he'll just leisurely walk. Like there's machine gun bullets all around him. He's just like,
yeah, I've been here before. Yeah. Seen this.
He just kind of like walks away. And it, honestly, it's like super dumb because it's almost... it's almost to the point of every bad guy, which they're supposed to be. It's James Bond.
Right.
But every bad guy is a stormtrooper where they just can't hit anything. And to the point where he just does not care. I just, like, there's a point in the final kind of battle or whatever you want to call it where he's alone and he has to fight through all the people. And he just, he shoots at the glass to get them to look at him. They all start shooting at him for like a good 5 seconds and it cuts back to him. And he is standing there and then just walks to like the pole next to him and like gets behind it. Like, oh my gosh, what are we doing?
Yep.
So I don't know. I thought
makes
it was
him
good.
Look so awesome doing it.
It does.
Though.
It does. And I don't know if it was because James Bond had come out recently, but over Thanksgiving, I actually saw it over Thanksgiving break. And I say Thanksgiving break like we're in college, over Thanksgiving holiday. And there was old James Bond, like the Sean Connery James Bonds were airing on TV, so we watched a couple of those as well. And he really did play into some of the corny jokes they make. I didn't realize Sean Connery made so many corny jokes when he kills somebody or something like that, you know? Just the one-liners.
Like Spider-Man quips. Yeah.
Exactly. Like like James Bond kills the guy with one eye or whatever with his watch, and he's like, I just blew somebody's brain with your watch or something like that. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Boo.
Yep.
Kind of thing. So there were some good callbacks for all that stuff.
Definitely.
And then he has a good old-fashioned gin and tonic. So,
of course.
And then he says Bond, James Bond, a couple times. So,
definitely.
Sad to see him go.
Actually, the final line of the movie as well, when Madeline's talking to their daughter. I'll tell you a story about a man named Bond, James Bond.
You're right. And I guess it's when he's going through maybe some kind of travel, and they're like, what's your name? And he says, Bond. He's like, first name?
Yep.
James.
Yep.
So I love that they kind of play into that as well. But I'm sad to see Daniel Craig go. I think he was the best James Bond. He just kind of gives that aura off of, hey, I'm a badass. Like, you know, I can do anything and everything and don't mess with me. And I've been here before. I'm experienced kind of thing. So I kind of like the older James Bond of what it is.
We'll be seeing him in the next two Knives Out movies. So
I rewatched Knives Out the other night as well.
Oh, okay.
The Foghorn Leghorn accent gets to me, Jeff.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't love the accent, but it doesn't, like, bother me. It's not distracting or anything. It's just a bizarre choice.
Okay. So is there anything you didn't like?
I mean, I guess it kind of felt a little messy at times, maybe. Just, like, so much action all at once. I think it could have used more Ana de Armas' character, honestly. I think it suffers from the thing where the opening scene was possibly the best scene. You know, like the first 15 minutes of this movie are amazing. They're like,
it does.
So
that's the typical for James Bond, in that the first 15 minutes of a James Bond film, you get a ton of action.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy, like, heart racing moments, and then you just cut to the intro and the music and everything like that. Yeah. So I don't hate it, but I agree. It's so well shot, and it's so tense in that moment that you don't know if you're going to bring it back from that. But I thought that was very typical of a James Bond movie.
I don't think there's too much to hate from this movie. I really enjoy it. It's better than I anticipated. I like it more than Casino Royale, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. Not more than Skyfall, but...
I would probably say it would be Skyfall 1, Casino Royale 2, and then this one, 3. Yep. And then probably Quantum of Solace and then Spectre. But I also haven't seen all of Spectre, so...
I gotcha.
But that's how I'd rank the Daniel Craig ones. So two things. Obviously, I didn't really like the ending. I would have rather had the cheesiness. Just me. Maybe I'm just cheesy.
You are.
That's fair. I also didn't like how... You know, the whole point of him kind of making James Bond be able to come to him, Saffir, come to him and be vulnerable was that he had his daughter kind of kidnapped and wasn't going to let him move, was kind of doing all that stuff with him. And then he gets away from him after James Bond kills all those minions. And then he just kind of lets her go.
Yeah.
That was kind of like, I was like, what? That didn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It didn't. Yeah. I get it. They wanted it to, I guess he knew he had that insurance of the DNA virus. But at the same time, that was supposed to be insurance, not the first.
Obviously, it happened just so they could get her back.
I mean, 100%, but it was like, you couldn't, that was just poor. It felt like poor writing.
I agree with you. Yeah.
He was just like, go if you don't want me. And just, okay.
Duh.
Yeah. So that was easy. And then I felt like, you know, it almost felt too easy. I guess Saffir didn't really care about his life, but it almost felt too easy to defeat him, you know, when he finally got on top of him. I guess he knew he did what he wanted and destroyed his life and thought there's no way he can get back up to the top kind of thing. But I don't know.
It
felt kind of too easy, you know what I'm saying? After there's, you know, he's gone through all this, Saffir seems to be, you know, ahead of them at every step of the way. And then he's just able to march through that whole place, kill everybody pretty easily. And then reopen the thing again.
At the expense of his life, though.
It was at the expense of his life. But if he didn't give up, I feel like they could have done a James Bond exit, but he just kind of gave up.
Yeah. So, well, it was like, for him, what's the point of living if I can't be with
my daughter? I get that.
I see what you're saying. You're wrong. It's fine. You're wrong.
Get what you're saying. You just don't know what you're talking
about. Your opinion's bad.
Yeah. I like it. But yeah, so definitely thought it was a good James Bond. I do agree that it does wrap up everything nicely. If I could talk, jeez. Yes. I do two podcasts, and I cannot talk for the sake of my life. So let's go into reviews. So the critics gave it an 84.
Audience, Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes, this is Rotten Tomatoes, and the audience gave it an 88. Do you have any other reviews that you saw?
IMDb, 7.4, pretty solid. Letterboxd, that's a 3.6.
Oof.
That's honestly not bad, especially for like a mainstream movie, you know. This isn't an indie A24 movie.
It's
so
very true. Letterboxd people solid. Are very snobby.
Yeah, they can be. What can we say?
So my question for you is, well, let's first give our reviews. What would you rate this movie?
I would give this movie an 81.
81, okay.
Which I feel like it's really good. It's, you know,
that is
already
good for you. You're a Letterboxd snob.
Yeah, this is about where I had Dune as well, so.
Wow, yeah. This is on the same level as Dune for you?
Remember, I gave Dune like an 84.
Yeah, but is this on the same level as Dune for you?
I like Dune slightly better.
Slightly.
I gotta see Dune again.
You need to just watch it on HBO.
I wanna watch it in theaters again.
You already saw it on theaters. Just watch it on HBO.
See it in theaters again.
Just rewatch it for the story on HBO. And then you can go see it in theaters. I don't care.
I think it's off HBO right now.
Is it?
Because after 30 days, they take them off. They'll put it back on in like a month, but literally off right now.
Oh my gosh.
So
why didn't you watch it?
I want to see it again in theaters. What is your review? I want to hear your rating.
I would probably give it probably like a 78.
Okay.
I definitely liked it a lot.
Not a 97.
I definitely liked it a lot, but like I said, the ending just kind of tainted it a little bit for me. There were some too easy kind of things. They felt like they were just trying to wrap it up, obviously, for Daniel Craig, and I get it. You know, you want to send off Daniel Craig the right way.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, great action scenes. Definitely a James Bond movie. Definitely something, if you like James Bond, you want to see. But there are better Daniel Craig James Bond movies than this one to me. So probably 78. Okay. Definitely good. Definitely worth the watch.
Yeah, we both definitely recommend it if you haven't seen it.
So I have a question for you. Daniel Craig is my favorite Bond. I think he's the best. I've seen a couple of Sean Connery. I grew up with Pierce Brosnan being James Bond. I might have seen one Roger Moore. I didn't really see anybody else. Is Daniel Craig your favorite Bond?
For me, yes, I have to agree with you. I didn't grow up a huge Bond fan. I honestly haven't seen too many of the movies from the past, so I can't really speak on Brosnan or Connery or anything. But I just really like the style of the newer ones anyways. I like how serious they are, how they're actual dramas and not necessarily more, you know, the cheesy humor or the one-liners. So, yeah, the answer is yes.
Okay, awesome, awesome. And then finally, to wrap up the Bond talk, we obviously have seen a lot of speculation because the James Bond series will obviously continue after Daniel Craig. Do you have a pick that you would like to be the next James Bond? Do you want me to go over the list that I've seen that execs or that people have speculated?
I'm sure Robert Pattinson's on there.
He's not, actually. Really? Not from the list I've seen.
Okay. Well, Robert Pattinson would be my top vote, I would say. Okay. Yeah.
Love some Pattinson. So the people who own James Bond, I don't know what...
Bond Estate.
Yeah, whatever that is. They say it's important that he's British, whoever it is.
I've heard this.
And
yeah.
that it will be a male because that's just who James Bond is.
Did they confirm that?
They haven't confirmed. They just said they would like for it to be a male because they think that's who James Bond is in the books, in the Ian Fleming books and everything like that. And they think that if, similar to what Daniel Craig said, if it needs to be a woman, then there can be a better role played out for a woman than James
Give her
Bond.
Her
just
own
forcing
franchise, right.
It to be a James Bond kind
I,
of thing.
I agree with that. If they are going to go female, though, I would say Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt is one That'd of the choices
pick.
On here. So that was the
really?
Only, that's the only woman on here, actually.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not kidding. I did not see that.
Yes.
I'm serious.
So, well, I added this later today, so I didn't know if you had seen it or not. So Richard Madden, who is...
Mm-hmm. Robb Stark.
Yeah, Robb Stark in Game of Thrones. I'm going to butcher this. Regé Jean Page? Reggae Gene Page? Reggae?
I don't know how to pronounce it either. So.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
He's the main character in Bridgerton on Netflix. No idea how to say that. Tom Hardy has been seen in that. Tom Hardy would be weird just because he's so short.
Also, like, you won't understand a word he says.
I think if he actually did the normal British...
He would find a way to wear a mask.
If you've seen him in Peaky Blinders, you cannot understand a word he says in Peaky Blinders.
That's what I'm saying.
Peaky Blinders, Tom Hardy is...
Worse than Bane.
It's crazy. It's insane. I don't know how anybody understands him without subtitles.
Yeah.
Idris Elba, of course, he's been in there. That would obviously be big.
That would be awesome.
That would be big. I love Idris Elba. That would be big, though, because he's obviously black, and that would be a big change for the James Bond character. I would love it. I think he'd be great as James Bond.
He would kill it.
He's got that dark demeanor similar to Daniel Craig, too, and that aura, too. Henry Cavill, another one that I would love. Those are probably my top two, is Idris Elba and Henry Cavill. I think both of those would be awesome. Love Henry Cavill in The Witcher. Loved him in The Mission Impossibles. I think he's a good Superman.
Yeah.
As far as Superman goes,
can
you can't
be
really
Superman and Bond, though? I don't know.
As I say, he's kind of, you know, leave
he's
something for the rest of us,
out.
Man.
Yeah.
You know? And then Emily Blunt, obviously. And then, amazingly, apparently, I don't know how this came about, Harry Styles has been mentioned as being James Bond.
Interesting.
Apparently, there's been
That's
a
not
ton
gonna
of...
happen.
No, it's not. But apparently, there's been, like, a ton of...
Imagine,
it's one of those where he's just so polarizing, where it's just like some people would be like, oh my gosh, Harry Styles.
Imagine he breaks out and Bond starts singing Watermelon Sugar in the middle of a movie.
He's just, I don't know. That would be a very weird James Bond. It wouldn't match the character at all.
Nah, it's not going to happen.
I don't think so either, but that was the other name. So Idris Elba and Henry Cavill would be my top two, and you said that Robert Pattinson, who's not
That's
on my
fault.
List right
now. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just looked at two things. I didn't really do a deep dive into...
Give me Pattinson in every movie.
I think right now Richard Madden is the favorite.
Really? He would be great.
Well, just because, I don't know, I think it was like a month or two ago. He's been asked before, and he just said, I'm flattered. I think it's just all talk, though, but it's flattering that I would be mentioning that. And then like a month or two ago, he was at some red carpet event, maybe for the Eternals.
Probably.
And somebody asked him, what are your thoughts on being the next James Bond? Just kind of just seeing what the response. And he just, before he could answer, his PR team says, yeah, we're moving on from that. And he just kind of smiled and then walked away. So a lot of people are, obviously, a ton of speculation from that one little clip.
Of course.
That went
what
viral.
The internet does.
Yes, yes. So I think, from just based on that, I think Richard Madden would be...
It'd be cool. He'd kill it. Doesn't,
I think he'd be good, too.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have Henry Cavill or Idris Elba.
I'd rather have Pattinson, so...
I mean, I would like... I'm so ready for Batman.
I can't wait.
When does that
so
come
good.
Out?
March, right? March 4th, I think.
I don't know.
I think
That's
it's
why
March
I asked
4th.
You. Jeff, when I look at you, you're supposed to know the answer.
It's March. I know that. I know it's March, okay?
Okay, and that'll wrap up our Bond talk. And that'll wrap up this week's episode of Slow Burn. Next week, we're going to dive into the Christmas spirit, Jeff. Because all I want for Christmas is you, Jeffrey.
Always.
We're going to do a Christmas movie. We haven't decided yet. Probably going to put up a vote on our story. So if you listen to this, like the three of you that do, go vote on our story on which Christmas movie we're going to do next week. And then obviously the week after that, we're going to do Spider-Man because we're both going to go see it when it comes out.
Absolutely.
The most hyped movie of the year. So we got to go see that. But next week, Christmas movie and our top five Christmas movies that we like every year.
Hey.
So we will see you guys next week.